you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour of the show brought to you by NIL Game Changers. The ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today. And we are in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. And from on3.com, Blue White Illustrated, let's bring in the outstanding Greg Pickle. Greg, welcome back. It's great to have you with us again.
Hey, Steve, good to be with you as always. Glad to hear you and hope everything's going well.
It's going very well. Thanks for asking. And let's get to Zane Rutherford because things are going well for him. He had to fight back to get his spot. Take us through that journey starting here and then how he had to go overseas to finally clinch it and get it done.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Steve. So Zane Rutherford, of course, as everyone listening knows, very accomplished Penn State wrestler, very accomplished on the international freestyle scene since his days of collegiate wrestling ended. And he does not typically wrestle at one of the Olympic weights. So he's usually at 70 kilograms, but the Olympics only have 6 weight classes, as of course we all know. College wrestling has 10, and the senior world teams have 10, but in the Olympics you only have 6. So he had to drop down below where he usually is. So that was the first challenge he had. And then, of course, he was not the reigning U.S. team member. It was Nick Lee, a former teammate, obviously the guy he beat in the finals of the U.S. team trials. But unlike some of his peers, Aaron Brooks, of course, being one of them, he was not already the U.S. did not have the 65-kilogram weight class qualified for the Olympics. And the way that works, basically, is you can win any number of, you know, you just have to win one of them, basically, quote-unquote qualifying events in an Olympic year to get a weight qualified for the Olympics. Nick Lee did not do that prior to him losing to Zane Rutherford in the U.S. Olympic team trials. Zane then goes to the last chance qualifier. And really, when you looked at the bracket draw, I think there was no question that he was one of the favorites to finish in the top three and advance. But he had one heck of a road ahead of him, and he ended up having to do it the hard way. He went into the consolation bracket, and the only way you get pulled back into the third place match once you're in that consolation bracket is if the person who beat you ends up getting to the finals, and who Zane Rutherford lost to did make it to the finals, so that threw him back into a 4-match day to make it to the Olympics, and he was able to go out and win the necessary matches all 4 in a row in not a long period of time, only a few hours, and qualify for the Olympics. So quite the accomplishment. Of course, when he gets to the Olympics, there'll be a ton of very good wrestlers there. We'll have to do a little bit more digging to see kind of where he ranks among his peers there. It's a little early for that breakdown, but ultimately a heck of an effort and just another example of what these Penn State wrestling past and guys can do when given the opportunity to compete.
Was he close to retiring?
Well, he was getting ready to take a job, I believe, in New York City, somewhere in New York. So, yeah, he was, I think, probably really doubting whether or not he was even going to wrestle during this Olympic cycle. And sure enough, he decided to do it, and here we are. He's going to the Olympics. But, you know, certainly, you know, I think as recently as probably this winter, he was getting ready to just be finished with his competition career and move into the next phase of life. And for whatever reason, he decided to give it one more go. And I'm sure he and the Penn State wrestling community and, of course, the United States wrestling community are happy about that because it gives the U.S. one more wrestler with a chance to win gold in Paris this year.
Okay, one of the more comical social media pieces was from Carter Storace about David Taylor taking the Oklahoma State job and about loyalty. I'm standing over there and said, over here in the back, I said, was your head coach disloyal to Iowa State when he took the Penn State job? It's like, I'm just asking for a friend that was his alma mater. What was the reaction in the wrestling community to David Taylor taking the Oklahoma State job?
Yeah, it all came together so fast, Steve. Of course, David Taylor thought he was going to be heading to Paris and in the Olympics and ready to represent the United States again after he won gold at the Tokyo Games. And he made it to the finals, lost to Aaron Brooks. And, you know, when you listen to Chad Weiberg, the Oklahoma State athletic director, he claims they paused their search when the team trials were going on, which makes some sense if you want to take it at face value, because the wrestling world and certainly anyone at a level of worthiness to coach at Oklahoma State was connected to the team trials at some point. So it does make some sense that they would pause that search, but certainly it couldn't have worked out any better for him that David Taylor loses, decides to pick up Chad Weiberg's call, and within a fairly short period of time and relatively short order compared to how some of these coaching searches go, and especially as long as the Oklahoma State one went, after John Smith retired and many thought Coleman Scott was the coach waiting there, obviously not the case. So I think initially it was surprise, and then, you know, when you listen to David Taylor talk at his introductory news conference last week and his level of participation on the senior level throughout the last year or so, maybe did indicate exactly what he said, that he was losing a little bit of his competitive fire and sort of that inner burning flame to continue to go out and compete. So I think he knew from this outset of this that either the Olympics were going to be his last competitive rodeo or the team trials were going to be. And as it turns out, Aaron Brooks made sure that the team trials were the last competitive matches David Taylor would wrestle. So he's ready to move into coaching. Certainly, I think, quite a surprise to a lot of people. I'm not really sure anyone could tell you with a straight face they had this on their radar up until some of the reports started coming out late last week. Or I guess early last week before he was announced later in the week. But, yeah, it was fast-moving. It was a surprise, and it'll be certainly interesting to see what he and Jimmy Kennedy, who was on staff at Penn State, is now joining Oklahoma State staff with David Taylor. Same with Nittany Lion Wrestling Club member Thomas Gilman, what they can accomplish out there. It's certainly not a bare cup board that David Taylor and those guys walk into, and they still have time to possibly add through the portal. So we'll see. You know, short-term impact on Penn State, probably – not all that great. Long term, we'll just have to wait and see how it all shakes out.
So now that means that Cal, look, this is not like Casey Cunningham or Cody. I mean, they've been there from day one. Kennedy was the most recent add to the staff when the NCAA expanded. Any thought process on any direction Cal may want to go with that third spot?
Yeah, it's really interesting because if you look at kind of what the potential candidate list might look like, you have a lot of Penn State products who are sort of in a similar situation to David Taylor, where do they want to keep competing at the freestyle level through another Olympic cycle? Do they want to maybe graduate to MMA, or, you know, Jason Nolf is doing the grappling series with Flow Wrestling, you know? So I think you have one list of potential names that would make sense who just got to decide what they would want. You know, obviously, Keel Sanderson and his staff would have to decide to hire some of these guys. But, you know, are they even at that stage where it's something they would consider? So I think that's your first pool. Highly successful former Penn State wrestlers that may be ready to move into the next phase of their life, just like David Taylor was. Obviously not as a head coach right away if they're going to do it at Penn State. But and then you have some guys who have been in the coaching ranks before. I just mentioned Coleman Scott. That seems like a long shot at best for him to come to Penn State. But you never know. He is a PA guy. And he's not staying with Oklahoma State moving forward. Vincenzo Joseph is an assistant coach at Stanford. Brady Berge is a volunteer coach at South Dakota State. Mm-hmm. Mark Hall is at the University of Pennsylvania. So, you know, you have some guys who have been in coaching at the college level before and are currently that I think is your other pool of candidates. So, you know, ultimately, it would be very interesting to see because certainly, you know, Jimmy Kennedy, while an extremely valuable member of this staff, he did not carry an associate head coach title or an assistant head coach title, anything like that. So unless Penn State restructures things or, you know, they maybe tie in some NLWC stuff to it, you know, I think you're probably looking at more like a Jimmy Kennedy, a younger guy who maybe has been on a staff for a few years and hasn't necessarily graduated up the proverbial title totem pole, if you will. So it'll be interesting. But certainly there will be no short list of people interested in this job. And you can rest easy knowing that Cale Sanderson will certainly find the right fit for his program moving forward.
All right. You've also done a really good job of tracking the EA Sports game, which is set for release, first week of July? Somewhere around there? That sound right?
Yeah, so definitely sometime this summer. EA Sports insinuated yesterday that May 16th, so what, 2 days from now, I believe that is. Yeah, Thursday. They were going to put out some more information, and it's already starting to pop up in the gaming console stores to get people ready for purchasing the game. So, yeah, I would expect by the end of this week, Steve, we're going to know probably the exact details about the cover. I don't know if they'll release who is opting in per team or not yet. If they'll put the full rosters out there, we'll have to wait and see. But, yeah, I would think by the end of this week, we're going to know price. We're going to know actual release date, maybe some other information as well. And then, yeah, before we know it, that game will be out in everyone's hands this summer, getting ready for the new college football season.
Are you a gamer?
Not really, but I'll probably make a return for this. I think I'm certainly not alone in that. I think that it's just such an allure for so many people to play this game again and just be part of the, it's going to be, obviously, it has been and will continue to be a major talking point in college football, in college sports. So, yeah, not exactly, not really, but I could certainly see a return from retirement for this game. And I think I'm probably not alone in that regard.
Well, they want 85-man rosters for this game, which means you have to opt in. You have to have 85 opting in. Arch Manning opted out. Do you know of any Penn State player that opted out at all?
No. So that question came up a good bit during the spring practice media availabilities, and some guys said they had not filled out the paperwork yet or submitted this thing. I'm sure it's not paperwork. I'm sure it's through an online portal somewhere. But, yeah, right. They all had said they had planned to. They wanted to be a part of it. So, no, I haven't heard of any, and it would surprise me if any did. I'm not sure the specific to the Arch Manning situation, but I think – just across the sport, he's probably fairly alone in terms of deciding to not be a part of this game.
You know what? There's a part of me that understands it with him. I mean, I don't know him at all, but there's a part of me that understands it. You know, Quinn Ewers is there. He's trying to battle for time and so forth. And, darn well there are going to be people that are rooting for Texas that will buy the game and have him quarterbacking, and then there will be stories about, yeah, he threw for 500 yards in the game, and he probably doesn't need that right now, and as a Manning, he probably doesn't need the attention or the money.
Yeah, the free video game and $600 probably is not as inducing or enticing to him than it would be to some others. Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. But, yeah, it's an interesting decision. Like I said, certainly we could end up finding out that some guys from Penn State, I think we'll have to be careful with the reporting of that initially, because I think if there's some guys who aren't in the game, it might be easy to assume that they opted out, when in reality they may have just never got the email, never pressed a button, or missed a deadline or what have you. So, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But, yeah, from what I gathered during spring practice, certainly I think the players are excited for it, and that's not just at Penn State. That's across college football. So many of these guys grew up playing a version of this game, and it's not been around for so long, or they played Madden and dreamed about being in that one day. So this is a chance to get in the video game now, and some of these guys, of course, won't ever make it to the point of being in Madden. So I think it's generating a lot of excitement and certainly something we'll be talking about over the next couple of months.
So when you get the game, Greg, will you then sit down and go number by number to see who's actually out there as an indication to you that they opted in and filled it out on time?
Are you I would say this, Steve. I would do it, but I have a pretty good suspicion someone's going to beat me to it. Like, someone's going to have that game downloaded at midnight whenever it first comes out. And by the time I get up, every roster will be posted somewhere on the internet. So, I would do that, and I'll certainly read those stories, but I get the suspicion that there's going to be plenty of people wanting to be among the first to share that info. So we'll have to wait and see. But, yeah, it will be interesting. Again, not just at Penn State, but other guys, big name players across the sport elsewhere who have elected not to, just based on the number of people who, the number of people who are already signed up. According to EA Sports, I would have to think the opt-out number is quite low. But, like I said, we'll find out. Once these rosters come out, we'll find out for sure and be able to have a better picture of it from there.
Also, Michael Motti's coming back. Just your thoughts on him coming back to the staff here at Penn State.
Yeah, great news for him. Great news for Penn State. Was happy to see that for him and for the school. Obviously, Mike has a tremendous legacy at Penn State, has been a part of with the collective, and he was down at Trinity High School, which, of course, Penn State is well connected to. So I thought it was great. Certainly, I think that no matter what kind of a role you would put him in at Penn State, be it a fundraising-related one, be it a football-related one, be, you know, whatever it might be, you're always going to get people to pick up the phone when Mike Marty calls. And that would go for whatever walk of life he may interact with somebody in. He's just so well respected, so well regarded. Obviously, a good communicator and things like that. So, no, it's a good move for Penn State. And certainly, I think that, you know, again, when you're trying to find as many ways as you possibly can to connect with your fan base and connect with your alumni and get people supporting, whether it's NIL, whether it's any of the various other ways people can donate to the athletic department, the football program, the university, et cetera. And, you know, obviously, there's lots of avenues for that besides the NIL one we talk about so much. Anytime you get somebody recognizable and well-liked in one of those roles, things tend to go pretty well. So Penn State certainly finds that with Mike, and I'm sure that, you know, there's going to be many success stories to share related to him and his new role at Penn State. And I'm sure they won't start. I'm sure they won't take too long to start filtering out there.
So what's the next big thing that you're working on story-wise, you know, whether it's wrestling, football, or whatever it may be? Is there something you have on your it's May, so it's not the most paced time of the year. So is something you're thinking about working on right now?
Yeah, so right now is a good time to kind of reset some things. We'll reset the kind of wrestling outlook for the college team throughout the month of May here, and then the U20 team trials for the chance to qualify for that level freestyle team in the U.S. is later this month. I think it's the 28th through the first weekend in June, and so you'll have a lot of current and future Penn State wrestlers there trying to make that team, which of course will compete at various events over the next few years. So that's the next sort of thing for wrestling in terms of events that actually will produce results that indicate, you know, where guys are at in their off-season training, things like that. And then on the football front, yeah, as you well know, Steve, this is kind of a time for new arrivals to get here, four new guys. Just got here, Peter Gonzalez, Anthony Speca, Caleb Brewer, and going to miss one here. I want to say it's Malachi Williams. Let me see if I can pull that up while I talk. But you'll have the rest of the class of 2024 rolling into State College here over the next couple of weeks and months' time. Well, I guess the last one will be at the end of June. So that's something to keep an eye on. There's some Penn State players who are in the portal still looking for somewhere to play. So we'll probably get some game times as well. A lot of game times have started to filter out from ESPN, from Fox, none involving Penn State yet. But I would say in terms of straight news, that's probably the biggest thing we'll see over the next couple of weeks is just where some of these games will start and what networks they'll be on. So, yeah, you're right. Not an extremely busy time of the year, but there'll be enough news to get us through to June when the recruiting ramps up in a big way.
And then it'll kick into another gear. As always, absolute pleasure. Thanks so much. Appreciate the time, Greg.
Always a pleasure, Steve. See you soon. Have a good one.
Greg Pickle on 3.com, Blue White Illustrated.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.